We appreciate you listening, as well as those that are listening over Facebook. Today, I want to talk to you about the most important subject in the Bible. And I want to read just one verse as we start, and then we'll refer back to this. But I want to talk to you about the most important question in the Bible. There's a lot of questions that are posed to Jesus Christ during His ministry. And there's questions that people have today. We're living in a world where there's an awful lot of rejection of the Word of God and the truth of His Word. And so I want to talk to you about this particular question that we find in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 25. The Bible says, "When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, 'Who then can be saved?'" Now, that's an important question. Who then can be saved? And as we look at this study today, I want to remind you that here at Grace Bible Church, we approach the Bible from a dispensational perspective. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that we look at the Bible in regard to how God dealt with men differently in different ages and different times. Many people try to take the Bible and start at the very beginning in Genesis and go through and try to make application to their life of all the Scriptures. And that's impossible to do. Because in the Old Testament, the information there is all about the nation Israel. After Genesis chapter 12, God Almighty is dealing with Israel and the promise He made to Abraham that He would bless Abraham and bless his seed. When we get to the end of the Old Testament, we have about a 400-year period before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, we have the life of Christ depicted. We have a lot about His ministry, about His birth, about His lineage, all of those things. But we also have His teachings. And what we find is that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ primarily is directing the 12 disciples how to conduct their ministry in regard to the coming kingdom. That kingdom is a kingdom upon the earth. And so when we look at that, we need to realize and understand that not all the Bible is written directly to us. Now, I know people kind of, you know, go off on a tangent when they hear that. But the fact is that all the Bible is written for us. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we do not discount any Scripture. But what we do is we look at the Scripture and we determine who the audience was and what was being taught to them according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ said, for example, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Israel was looking for a Savior that would deliver them from their enemies. And when you read in the Old Testament, you'll find that that word saved is used 47 times. Almost every time that word is used, saved, it refers to a physical salvation for Israel being saved from their enemies. And it's interesting in Luke chapter 1 that when Zacharias is announcing the birth of his son, John the Baptist, and the coming of Christ, he says that the Redeemer is coming to save us from our enemies. So when we see the word saved in the Bible, it's not always referring to eternal salvation in heavens like we have today. It has to do with a physical salvation when God is going to establish a kingdom upon this earth and Israel will be saved from their enemies. And so we need to keep that in mind as we look at what the Bible says about who can be saved. In the Old Testament, salvation was through keeping the law, offering animal sacrifices, and so forth. in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the issue there was, did the people believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? That was the issue. There were those that believed He was the Messiah. There were those that believed He was not the Messiah. So here in Matthew 19, where we read a moment ago, we're going to look at several verses concerning what people asked about salvation and what the answer was. For example, Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now he goes on and tells him several other things there. But I just want to point out that if someone came to me today, or hopefully came to you today and asked you, what must I do to have eternal life? Hopefully your reply would not be, keep the commandments. Because keeping the commandments will not save anybody today. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, we've been made free from the law. So the law was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, when Jesus Christ was crucified. So Israel, as the nation, rejected Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So as we get to the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the next book in the Bible is the book of Acts. And what is the first thing the disciples ask Christ after His resurrection in Acts chapter 1? They ask Him, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now where the church has failed today miserably is they do not distinguish between the kingdom promised to Israel and salvation for us in this dispensation of the grace of God. In Acts chapter 2, good example of that. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, is preaching. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 22, he says, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. It's extremely important in Bible study to identify who is being spoken to and what is being spoken. For example, we have the book of Acts, and in the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. Those are the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul said time and again that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, I magnify mine office. And he said that the gospel of the grace of God was given unto him. He called it the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. So, what we have is in the book of Acts is Israel, the 12 disciples, going to the nation Israel and preaching unto them that this Jesus whom you crucified was the Messiah, and in effect you've really messed up because you killed the very one that came to deliver you from your enemies and to save you. So when Peter stands up to make this proclamation, he says there in verse 32, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and receiving of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand. Until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now notice, therefore let all the house of Israel. Listen folks, unless you're a Jew, you're not of the house of Israel. I would expect that I am speaking probably primarily close to 100% to Gentiles, not Israelites. Peter said, let all the house of Israel know this, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now notice their response. when they heard this, these men of Israel, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, the house of Israel, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here again, we have people asking the question, what shall we do? We've crucified our Messiah, now what shall we do? The answer was not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is repent and be baptized. And there are numerous people today and denominations that base the doctrine of salvation upon Acts 2:38. And there is nobody that can get saved in the dispensation of grace according to Acts 2:38. That was to the nation Israel. Now notice the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. The difference. In Acts 16:32, Paul is in prison, and there's been an earthquake there, and so the jailer asks this question. Verse 28, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now notice the response. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now listen, folks, I'm no scholar, don't have to be, but we have a book. That book is truth. And in that book, Jesus Christ is asked, what must a man do to be saved, to have eternal life? And he tells this man, keep the commandments. Paul never once said to keep the commandments. This man asked him, what must I do to be saved? If you're not saved, that's the question you need to ask yourself. What is it I can do today to pass from death unto life? Is it joining the church? Is it confessing your sins? Is it repenting of your sins? Is it living a better life? All of those things are things that people today equate with being saved. And so it ends up that people are taught a works-based salvation, such as repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That was not written to you. That was to the nation Israel, says it was over and over again. In Acts 3:12, Peter says, you men of Israel. In Acts 5:35, he said, you men of Israel. He said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. But Paul, when he was asked that question, he was asked, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, what is the importance of that? Well, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. Then we know that the gospel of Christ is the means whereby people are saved today. And what's happened in so much of religion, not all of it, there are saved people in many, many churches, but what has happened in much of religion is that people have taken doctrine from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and try to follow that doctrine in order to get saved. Well, selling what you have will not get you saved. Giving alms to the poor will not get you saved. What is it that will bring about salvation in people today during this dispensation of grace? It is the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, then someone asks the question then, what is that gospel? Well, we don't have to wonder about that, because the very next book in the Bible is 1 Corinthians, is the book of 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the very first four verses tell us explicitly what that gospel is. Anybody that adds to the gospel or takes away from it is perverting the truth. And that is what has blinded the minds of people, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, not which Peter preached, not which James and John preached, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all," now notice, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So the first time Paul went to Corinth and preached unto them, he preached unto them that Christ died for their sins. And he says, that is the gospel. He said, "I preached unto you that gospel. I declared to you the gospel. I delivered unto you how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, that's the truth. That's the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe the gospel. You say, well, that's just too simple. It certainly, it couldn't be that simple. Well, Paul said that his fear was that people would be directed away from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is simple. It's not complicated. What has happened is that man has complicated the gospel, added to or taken away from it, and that's why there's such a confusion today about salvation. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 15, that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. So the information for us today, again, all the Bible is for us. We study it from cover to cover. But to understand it, we must understand that Paul was our apostle, and what he wrote in Romans through Philemon is the doctrine for the church today. People say, well, all you focus on is doctrine. No, Paul spends much of what he writes on things about, on emphasis on how we live. We're looking at that as we go through the book of Ephesians, starting particularly in chapter 4, which we'll be doing next week. But the fact is that Paul was the apostle of Gentiles. In Romans 15, he said that Jesus Christ, now think about this, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Who's the circumcision? Israel. Jesus Christ said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Christ came to die for our sins. But that was not made known until it was revealed through the Apostle Paul. You cannot find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or the first 9 chapters of Acts, or first 8 chapters of Acts. Paul said Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto who? The fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. In that same chapter, Paul said that I should be the minister of the Gentiles. It's not very complicated, folks, if people would just believe the words that are written on the page. And when people go back to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to find doctrine to live by today, there are many principles there that we can live by, but there are also many things that Christ taught that we cannot apply to us today. For example, Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, ye shall have it." Now, there are many people today, including most of the Pentecostals, that believe that promise is to them. And you know what happens? They claim that promise, and somewhere along the line, they ask for something, and God doesn't give it to them. You know what that does? That causes them to doubt. It causes them to doubt the Word of God, because it says it right there. Jesus Christ told the disciples, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. The Apostle Paul said, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So if you do not understand the differences in the doctrine, you're going to end up trying to live your life on the basis of what Christ taught the disciples and not what God taught us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul, and primary among that is salvation. What we have to understand, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what we must understand is that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, everything changed. When He died on that cross, He died for our sins. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there it's a really a description of what took place there. You remember in Romans 1 verse 17, Paul said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Therein where? Therein the gospel. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, Paul said, for He hath made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness that's revealed through the gospel is the fact that we can be made righteous, not by keeping the law, not by obeying Christ's teaching, but by believing the gospel of Christ, that He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Now, I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to Himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now notice, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So there is a great truth that is revealed there. That is that when Christ went to the cross, all of our sins were placed upon Him, and He became the sacrifice for our sins. And by believing that and trusting in that, we have salvation. Why, even John, over in 1 John chapter 1, he recognized that. He said in verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not, for if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now notice, and He is the propitiation. That propitiation is mentioned there has to do with satisfaction. Christ was the only satisfactory sacrifice for man's sins. And notice what He says in 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Folks, it couldn't get any plainer than that. Christ died for our sins. I don't care what you've done in the past, what you're doing now, or what you do in the future. Christ died for those sins. Therefore, if you would trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. You don't have to get up and go anywhere, say anything, or do anything. And I hope that you see what religion has done to that doctrine. Because there is a whole laundry list of things that people are told they must do. I remember years ago, I was witnessing to a man up in Dayton, Tennessee. And I asked him if he was saved. And he said, well, not yet. And I said, well, what's keeping you from being saved? And he reached and he patted his pocket on his chest. And I said, "You mean your heart's keeping you from being saved?" He said, "No, these cigarettes." He said, "My preacher said I couldn't be saved and could I quit smoking." How ridiculous. God doesn't save your flesh. He saves your spirit. And He seals it until the day of redemption. So I would encourage you, those listening on the radio, listening on the internet, wherever you may be, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you receive Him right now? By faith. Simply believing. Not that you have to join the church, walk the aisle, confess your sins, repeat a prayer, turn over a new leaf, become a better person, give your tithes, keep the law. None of that will get you saved. A lot of that's good to do after you're saved. Being baptized won't save you. Trust in Jesus Christ will, and His finished work at Calvary. And your sins were placed upon Christ's cross. Now all you have to do is receive it. And I pray that you would do that. As we go off today, I wanted to mention to you that are listening that, particularly those who are listening in Chattanooga, the name of our church is Grace Bible Church. We bring this broadcast daily on WJOC. It's called UnderstandingYourBible.com. is our website, and the radio broadcast is by the same name. But if you want more information about our church and you have internet access, you can go on the internet and look under Understanding Your Bible, type it out as oneword.com, and we have over 10 years of messages out there, and the most current ones as well. Also, our church is located very conveniently on Hickson Pike, 3827 Hickson Pike, out in the Hickson area, and we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock every week, and 10 o'clock for our Sunday school hour, we have coffee and donuts and Bible study. At 11 o'clock, we have our morning service that we're doing right now. And I would invite you to come and be with us. If you don't have internet access, you can reach me at 423-847-0768. And we would love to have you come and visit with us here at Grace Bible Church. We simply study the Bible, preach the Bible rightly divided, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. And we won't ever ask you to give your money. We won't ask you to do anything. We just ask you to come and be a part of us if you would like to. Also, I wanted to mention to you that we're going to be having a Bible conference coming up October 3rd through the 5th. We'll be having services here on Friday night at 7 o'clock, starting at Saturday morning at 9, Saturday night at 6, and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So you come and be with us. You don't have to make any kind of reservations for that. You don't have to register. We'll have a good crowd here, and we'll have some music, and we'll also have 8 to 10 speakers preaching over the weekend. So if you can, come be with us. And again, if you need more information about any of that, or you want to talk about what you've heard on the broadcast today, I'd be glad to talk to you. 423-847-0768. Again, we thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll do the same next week.